This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
UEFA Euro 2024 on RNIB Connect Radio. No matter who you're supporting, catch up on all the latest news and results on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi everybody, welcome back to episode 4 now of our Euro 2024 podcast chat on the RNIB Connect Radio. So my name's Neil Atkinson, I'm from the Scotland Community Connection team, and I'm your host again this week with some guests from across our community up and down the country. So on today's show we have the two Andrews, Andrew B and Andrew P, who are talking from an England perspective. We have Alessio, who's going to try and hold back the tears from an Italian perspective. And we've also got fan favourite Gene back on the podcast, along with Bruce as well. So Bruce was actually in Germany supporting Scotland as part of the Tartan Army. And I think it's just really great to hear from Bruce when we come to that, about his experience over there in Germany as a visually impaired person, as a member of the Tartan Army, and hear about how he got on over there. So yeah, plenty to talk about as always. We'll come to the fixtures later on and what we've got to look forward to. But yeah, I think just a quick roundup, obviously, with Scotland being out, no results there. Italy, for Alessio's point of view, obviously coming up short against Switzerland on Saturday. So England, the last representative on this call to get through to the quarterfinals, but plenty to look forward to. So yeah, without further ado, we'll crack on and we'll come to Bruce, obviously new on the recording. So hi Bruce, if you want to just quickly introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Bruce. I live near Aberdeen in the northeast of Scotland on the Scottish Riviera. And I am unfortunately a travelling member of the Tartan Army.
Brilliant. Thanks, Bruce. So yes, on that, obviously you went across there to Germany to soak in the atmosphere and take in the football along with hundreds of thousands of other Tartan Army. So how did you find it, first of all, in general, as an experience, as a football fan across there at a major tournament in Germany? How did you find the experience?
As an experience, it was great. It wasn't my first finals. I'd been to three others, but obviously not one for quite some time. So it was a really good experience. But overall, I would say it's like the classic curate's egg, which was rotten in places and good in parts.
I think we can guess what the rotten parts were.
To be honest, Neil, it wasn't all the football that was rotten.
Right.
What really surprised me was that there was a fair degree of disorganisation around Germany for the finals, which was a bit of a shocker, really, because we expected quite the opposite.
Yeah, I've certainly heard similar, to be fair, which is a big surprise considering how much they're touted for their logistical expertise in Germany. So obviously, Bruce, you are a visually impaired person. You have sight loss yourself. How did you find going across there, travelling across there? Did you have mates with you? How did you find it just from a visually impaired perspective and trying to enjoy the atmosphere and experience from that side of things?
It was fine. I mean, I travelled with friends. We got the ferry from North Shields, then drove from Amsterdam to Munich. So when I was with friends, it was generally fine. Walking around Munich was okay. There were many different changes in height of pavements, which could be a bit of a challenge. There were volunteer helpers dot around the city who were fantastic. I mean, they knew what they were doing. They knew how to help you. Really good, really clear advice. In very, very good English. The biggest challenge, though, came getting to the ground. It was a supposedly 40-minute train journey from the central station in Munich to the ground. The stadium opened at 6 and the match started at 9. So we'd planned to get there for maybe around 6:30, 6:45, so we could experience the opening ceremony and then obviously what would turn out to be a Scotland win against Germany. What happened, though, when we got to the train station, at about 5:40, and it was 2 hours later that we got to the ground, because the train station was absolutely crammed full. And I mean, it literally chest to back and shoulder to shoulder. So with some sight, that was quite distressing, because obviously you're getting bumped from different sides and didn't see it coming. Obviously, if somebody had been blind, it would have been worse. It felt like we were locked in this area in the train station, and then eventually kind of pushed onto a train, which was, again, absolutely jam-packed. journey to the ground, and then about a half-hour walk to the ground mm-hmm. over uneven ground.
Yeah.
So that part was really not great. So that was really disappointing. And again, I would have thought that in a first world country, well known for organisation, engineering excellence, and community, that it would have been better in Munich. It was slightly better in Cologne. But actually, when we got to Stuttgart was world class. Wow. It was absolutely brilliant. It was very clear on how to get to the ground. It was well lit outside the ground in Stuttgart. The other two grounds outside weren't particularly well lit. Now, obviously, if someone's got no sight at all, then it makes no difference. But with the partially sighted, it makes quite a big difference.
I mean, obviously, a bit of a nightmare with the first game. So, it's disappointing to hear. But yeah, hopefully you managed to enjoy the kind of fan experience anyway, going across there as well. I mean, and enjoying the games themselves, I suppose, even though the results didn't go our way. You enjoyed going across there with your mates and.
Yeah, it was a super trip. I really enjoyed it. Obviously, couldn't see much of the games. The other thing was, disappointingly, they had an audio commentary on the matches through the Euro 24 app. But there's so many people in one place using phones and what have you that it was impossible to get.
So it didn't actually work in the stadium.
Yeah, so it didn't work in the end.
Okay.
The only thing that I found really difficult with the whole process was when I came back, I was in Frankfurt Airport on my own, and I thought, right, I can do this. I'll manage to get through it. But it's such a huge airport, I should really have asked for assistance.
Yeah.
Because I did a lot of wandering around in circles.
But it's always in there. Yeah.
It was a great experience, but I think having folk with me made the huge difference, which is kind of obvious, I suppose.
No, thanks for sharing that, Bruce. And that's really interesting to hear about all the stuff that went on. Thanks for sharing that. We'll park that for now, and definitely we'll come back to kind of tournament as a whole, Bruce, and we can get your thoughts on kind of Scotland when we come back to it, and then also the other teams that are involved going forward. So the shock of the tournament, Alessio, we'll bring you in. Talk me through what happened on Saturday. What can we say?
A few people are surprised, but I wouldn't say it's a real shock. If you've watched how Italy have been playing this tournament, we haven't been playing great. The highlight says it all, really, when we're celebrating a 98th minute in the goal in the group stages to even stay in the competition. That tells you all about. I remember last week I was saying that this Switzerland game would be tricky, and yeah, it's proven right. I was disappointed with the performance as a whole, but we didn't show that much fight, and especially we were going to the tournament of champions a bit more. Without, no one expects us to win it again, but, we're trying to defend our crown here, and it didn't materialise in the end, so it's quite disappointing. Can't ask for much more.
I think you'd mentioned at the start of the tournament about the kind of the loss of a lot of the experienced players. Do you think one that made a difference, maybe having a little bit less of that experience from the last tournament, and then do you also think it's a team in transition that actually there's a lot of talent there, looking at the slightly younger side of the squad, a lot of talent there coming through that maybe potentially in the next couple of tournaments Italy might fare a little bit better?
Yeah, it's a culmination of a few things really. Obviously we did very well in the last tournament. I think that was mainly down to our world class manager in Mancini, a few of our players in their prime, and it all just, fit together quite nicely. And then in the aftermath of that, players have left and retired. Mancini's gone. Mm-hmm. And Spalletti only had, I know he's managed more games, but he only had two games to get us qualified for this tournament itself. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a lot of young players. So couldn't ask for a lot in this tournament. But yeah, I'd say hopefully, please Lord, we actually qualify for the next World Cup. A few more young players come in, and I'll be expecting around the 16 round of quarter final for the World Cup at least. That's a long way to go.
Yeah. No, I quite enjoyed actually watching the Italy team this summer, even though the results, all the performances weren't all that great, but I think there's a couple of really talented players in that squad.
Yeah, so. we had our moments, but just never any controlling performances or anything.
Well, thank you, and yeah, we'll obviously keep you on the call to reflect on the rest of the tournament, and hopefully Italy can bounce back again in a couple of years' time when it comes to the World Cup. So again, we'll move on to England. We've got the two Andrews on the call as usual, so I'll come to Andrew B first, because I know Andrew P, you're going to want to tell us how you managed to watch the game in the end on Sunday. So we'll come to Andrew B, who did actually manage to watch the 90 minutes before extra time. How did you think that went, Andrew B? And then also, how was your feeling going into added time before the Bellingham goal? Did you think it was going to come? And then obviously that amazing goal from Bellingham to keep England in the game, and then seeing them through later on.
Yeah, I have to admit, I didn't see it coming. I thought it was all over, to be honest. I wasn't really paying much attention to what was going on, and then obviously Bellingham scored, and it looked like a better victory than it was. I think it's still... It's funny, I was talking to friends about it, and it, you know, we were talking about perhaps going to the pub to watch it, and it just doesn't seem the same. There's just no buzz. It seems, I think Saturday is going to be a really tough game. And it's like, I think Gary Neville said on the radio the other day that if you'd have given England Switzerland in the quarterfinals 3 weeks ago, they'd have bitten your hand off. Mm. And, I don't know. I think it'd be a really difficult match, but I mean, I wasn't very impressed with the Slovenia or Slovakia games, but I suppose they won, so you can't really can't really moan too much. But it's just, I don't know, it's not happening. But I wish he'd make substitutions earlier and acknowledge that it's not working. It's just, you know, that they could make some really good changes for Saturday, but I bet he won't. It'll be the same team for 60 or 70 minutes, and then he'll bring on Palmer maybe, or you know, he'll switch a few players around, and it, you know, could be too late by then.
Yeah, I think that's a danger on Saturday with Swiss maybe being a bit more clinical, aren't they? So, Andrew P, do you want to admit how you managed to catch the game on Sunday? Are you hiding that from us all?
To be honest, I feel a bit like a fraud, and I'm really embarrassed to say that I watched so many games, I actually got the time wrong, and I thought it was at 8 o'clock. So when I joined, I was in a state of confusion.
So tell us, what point did you join? At what kind of minute? What was going on? Had it got to extra time yet?
Yeah, so it had got to extra time, and we were just sort of holding on, but I was really confused. I was thinking, you know, is this the first half, the second half? I don't know what happened.
Well, it's fair to say, I don't think you missed much. Did he miss much, Andrew B?
No, nothing that I would, nothing of note anyway.
Yeah. Just a wonder goal from Bellingham to keep you in it. So England go through, they play Switzerland on Saturday. It's the 5 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. So obviously a big quarterfinal game, and if they're to win that, they play the winners of either Netherlands or Turkey. So a pretty favourable route to the final, but England probably need to step up their game to make any game favourable for them. So I know we've also got one other person on today's call who's amazingly been staying awfully quiet. I don't know how you've managed it, but Jean, fan favourite, back on the call.
I've been practicing.
Do you want to just quickly, obviously we've not spoken to you since Scotland went out, do you want to chat about how you felt Scotland going out, their tournament as a whole, and then also what have you been enjoying since? What teams have you been enjoying?
Well, on Scotland, I think when we be realistic, and I don't want to be realistic, we did well to get there. We played well. We weren't a form team. We come on. We had the best singers. We had the most colourful folk. We had the best flags. It's just nobody told the team that we're here. We're here to cheer you on. We sung, we danced, and tried to cajole them. And looking at Clark's face, would not encourage you. So the whole thing, I thoroughly enjoyed being there and watching it and knowing that we were part of this. Disappointed, but hey-ho, I'm not telling you anymore because I'm not telling you who my wager is on, because I've already been disgraced about that and called out.
So, yeah, Scotland out, but you're still going to enjoy the party, Jean, is that right?
Absolutely, and I still know who's going to win.
We'll just allow Bruce to talk about the tournament as a whole. Have you enjoyed it out with the Scotland results, and what teams are you kind of enjoying watching now that Scotland are out?
I have enjoyed it, thanks, Neil. I have enjoyed it. what's been really interesting for me is that it almost feels like there's a changing of the guard happening, mm-hmm. as we see some of the established teams, Croatia is the obvious example, Poland, you know, going out at the first stage. We see the other big-name European teams struggling a little bit in many cases. But then also we see the likes of Slovenia, Slovakia, and Switzerland, who, to be fair, have been in the round tournaments for a while now, without wanting to rub the salt into Italian wounds. But these are, you know, seem to be coming to the fore a bit more. And they're smaller nations, but I do wonder if there's a little bit of a changing of the guard coming, which would be fantastically refreshing.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think it has been refreshing to see these teams compete. So I'll just touch on the games to look forward to this weekend. So we've got on Friday at 5 o'clock, it's maybe the big one everybody's looking forward to is Spain versus Germany, two of the favourites. We've got Friday at 8 o'clock is Portugal versus France, again, two big nations. We've got Saturday at 5 o'clock is England versus Switzerland, which everybody will be looking forward to. And then finally, Saturday at 8 o'clock is Netherlands versus Turkey. And then next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, the semi-finals will take place. And then a week on Sunday will be the final, the big finale. So before we wrap up, will we just hear from everybody who you guys are now fancying for the tournament? Has it changed since last week? Bruce and Jean not been on. So, we'll come to Andrew B.
I still fancy Germany, but I think if Switzerland beat us or we get to play Turkey, I think someone like Turkey could stand a good chance because I think they play quite attacking football and they seem to have a lot of fans there that make a lot of noise. I think they'd be quite good underdogs.
Bruce?
I think I would go for Germany, or at an outside chance, again, I would go with Turkey also.
Alessio?
I think it will be a repeat of the 2010 World Cup final. It will be Spain and Netherlands in the final, and Spain will win the whole thing.
Jean?
England. I think they can do it, because they must get better.
And Andrew Palmer?
I'm going to go with England, only because I've got a bribe going on with some chocolate. So,
I hope it's Swiss chocolate.
Yeah.
Chocolate. Well, thanks everybody again for joining us on this week's episode, and obviously lots to look forward to in the coming days with all the games. So thanks everybody.